Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk to the Diddy. Man, do we love having Ray on the show. And, of course, every single week Ray joins us at this time. Well, that is other than last week when they played on a Thursday on the first game. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. So excited for 2-0. It felt to me similar to last year, regular season-wise, how they kind of grinded it out. More of a defense and offense-led game. Biggest takeaway from you that you had from the game yesterday, what's the number one takeaway?
The number one takeaway was the takeaway. Yeah. You know, Makuba's play. I mean, that really, talk about a game changer. Oh, my. You know, I mean, that's the Chiefs are right there. They're working a 13-play drive, taking it right down the field from their own 20 down to knocking on your door. It looks like they're ready to take the lead. And he comes up, and Makuba comes up with an interception on a 41-yard return that you turn into a touchdown on the other end. That's a 14-point swing in a 3-point game. It's huge, huge play. And it's, that's what everybody said about Makuba when he was being scouted. That's what everyone said about him going into the draft, was that he just has a nose for the football. I mean, it's an old shop-worn cliche, and people have thrown it around for years, but it's a truism with certain players. I mean, certain players in that position just have a knack or an instinct or whatever that they're around the football. And this kid demonstrated it, not as much at Clemson, but certainly his 1 year at Texas. And that's what the Eagles saw, and that's why they drafted him. And in a moment when you need it, you desperately needed somebody to make a play, you know, the old coach's expression, we need somebody to make a play. Well, this kid stepped up and made the play that changed the game, really.
Sure did. Sure
it
did.
Seems like he's always doing stuff like that. Ray,
sure does. I remember the first time he got on the field in the preseason this year.
Yeah.
He has a game where he has a pick six. And yeah. Then later on gets a takeaway, forces a fumble.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's not by accident. I mean, if you watch the tape of him at Texas last year, you saw that.
Wow.
And I really liked him. My only concern when the Eagles drafted him, I mean, they got him in the second round, and when the Eagles were coming up for the second round, I was looking at the players that were available, and I knew they were probably going to be looking for help in the secondary, and his name sort of jumped off the board. I mean, my only concern about him, and I kind of still have it, is he just looks slim to me. That was the word coming out. I mean, they say he's 185. I'm not even sure he is. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, is he going to be able to hold up in a long NFL season? You know, I just wonder if these guys going to be able to stay on the field. But when he's on the field, you know he is, because he's around the football.
Yeah, another guy who is slim and problematic more often than not, Adoree Jackson. Yesterday he looked better, Ray, but I wonder, in your estimation, is that because he was better, or is that because the wide receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs are all really slight and not quite as polished and not quite as talented as most?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he played a lot better, but I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I had concerns about him coming into the season, and I certainly had them coming out of the opener. And yesterday was a little bit better, but again, the two starting receivers were out, so they were playing with their backups. Not that Hollywood Brown's a bad player, but I mean, it wasn't that. But I think you will certainly find out this week. You will certainly find out this week, because the Rams are coming to town, and they have Nacua, and they now have Davante Adams.
Oh my gosh.
And they're playing really good.
And Matthew Stafford, this feels like another example of Za'Darius Smith, doesn't it, Ray? Like another example of a veteran who really didn't feel the need to do training camp. Like Matthew Stafford, his coach, they don't feel like it benefits him in any way to practice, so they say he's got back tightness. then people like me think, okay, good, we're going to have an opportunity to get Matthew Stafford. But then I watch him the first 2 weeks. He does not look like he's got back.
Yeah, that's a heck of a game. And they obviously gave the Eagles the closest game last year. Ray, let's get to some other aspects of the team. Hurts and the Eagles offense. Why the struggle? Can you tell why? So when he played so well and they played so well in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, I was hoping it would be a pathway to improved, consistent offense this year in the passing game. It has not been. Why?
I like to just attribute it to the fact that your key guys, your quarterback and your top receivers didn't play in the preseason. And to be frank, Brown and Smith didn't even practice all that much. They weren't taking full reps all during training camp. So they're still working it out. Your two wide receivers and your quarterback weren't really working that much in the preseason, and you've got a new offensive coordinator, and so that's a lot of stuff that kind of has to get worked out in the real season, and I think that's part of it. I know there's a lot of people that are really scratching their heads, and some of them openly wondering, oh my God, do we have really problems with the offense? I don't see it. I mean, last week was a struggle against the Cowboys, no question about that. But when I went back and looked at the tape, I mean, one of the things that jumped out at me, I thought, was I just didn't think the offensive line played very well. I mean, when I went back and looked at it again, for a unit that we absolutely think is the best in the league, and you expect it to play at a high, high level every week, the Dallas game was not that. I mean, Lane Johnson made a couple of mistakes, which you never see. Mailata got beat on a couple plays, which you just don't see. The center, Juergens, I thought, really struggled against Clark. And Dickerson's obviously playing through some stuff. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
The guy who played best on the offensive line last week was Steen. and you go back on it and you say, well, why would that be? And I think it's partly because he actually did play some in the preseason. The other guys had not. And
wow.
So then, people, that makes a difference. I mean, it really does make a difference. And I think they're still working through some of this stuff. I mean, the way Nick approaches things. And so I'm not overreacting or not overly worried about any of that stuff. I mean, early season football, September football in today's NFL, is a lot of it is like this. A lot of it is like this. Well, teams are, I don't want to say it's an extended preseason, but are teams really hitting on all cylinders now? Not many of them. So I think that's kind of where this team is. But the real key is, and they're able to do this, is win the game.
Yeah.
They're not going to be pretty.
Yep.
Statistically, they're not going to be huge. You're going to come out of some of them scratching your head with a little concern. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, you've won the game. You're 2-0 now, and you move forward. But now you've got a really good Rams team in here. And the team that's coming in here next Sunday, I think, is better than the Chiefs as they're currently constituted.
I agree.
I think this is the toughest team. This is the toughest game you'll have faced to this point. And the Eagles are offensively are going to have to play better because the Rams, look, the Eagles' defense is good, and Vic Fangio does a great job preparing you. But the Eagles are going to have to get more out of their receiving core in this week's game if they hope to win it.
How much better does our offense become if we get Dallas Goedert back? And the challenge, I think the challenge for me is when you get accustomed to him setting or hooking the edge, for the run game or kicking out, like he controls people in the run game when I watched that. And then yesterday, you could see that we struggled there. How much does he change things if we get him back this week, Ray?
Big time. Big time.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think he's really a key player. I mean, as a receiver, I mean, he's really good at that. And there are a couple plays that he and Hurts run together. That little backdoor rollout play where it's a fake and it's kind of a waggle motion and the tight end kind of doubles back against the flow, comes out the back door, and he's always wide open. I mean, that's a play that is there all day long.
Yeah.
And they run it really good in key situations. That converted a lot of third downs for them, and he's really good at that. So the receiving part of it, we always knew he was going to be good at, and he has been. But the part of it where he has really improved, to me to a shocking degree, is blocking. I mean, he has become not just an okay blocker, an adequate, but he's become a very good blocker. And when they don't have him, it makes a difference. You know, Calcaterra can do a lot of the things in a receiving game, but he's not a blocker. I mean, he'll try. I mean, he gives you the effort, but he's not a good blocker. Goddard is a really good blocker. And when he's not on the field, it impacts your running game. There's no question about that. So, I mean, I don't know what the status of his knee injury is, but facing a team like the Rams this week, I certainly hope he's available because I think the Eagles will need him.
Ray Diddy with us as he is every Monday at this time, breaking down the game. Ray, let's talk about the tush push. I mean, maybe that was the most they ever ran it in a game. It was a lot. So everyone's watching across the nation yesterday. It's a Tom Brady broadcast, 425 time slot. We see a lot of penalties not called. I have a theory that the new mantra of those that hate it will be that the refs cannot properly officiate it. And that's what they'll take to the Rules Committee this upcoming offseason and say, we got to get rid of it. The refs actually, it's too much for them. Do you buy that theory?
Well, they tried the injury thing, and that didn't wash because there's no evidence that it's true. This one, they can make a case for.
Yeah.
You know, this one, they can make a case for. And there's no doubt. I mean, there was no doubt. There were a couple times that, and you saw Andy Reid was livid on the sidelines, and he should have been. I mean, there was clearly motion. But, you know, there's going to be a huge, pardon expression, there's going to be a huge push
yep.
to get that thing overturned this year. It really will be. And if the Eagles win again, using that the way they used it yesterday, I don't think there's any way it holds up for another year. I mean, I think that it just barely made it. I was surprised that it hung on this year.
Me too.
If they win again this year and continue to have the same success with the play, I really think it'll be overruled. And Joe, I think you identified one of the arguments, and I'll have the film to prove it. One of the arguments on, you know, the referees can't officiate this play. It's unfair. We got to get it out of the books. And I think that's a very real possibility. But there's no doubt. There's no doubt that it's a big part of the Eagles' arsenal. Although,
huge.
Now that you see it, I mean, teams are defending it much better than they did before. I mean, it's not nearly as automatic as it was. I mean, the Eagles are still doing it very well at a high rate, but it's not as simple as every time they line up, you know they're going to make it because it's become tougher for them because teams have figured out a better way to defend it.
Maybe
but still.
Until we do an end around off of what we're doing now, and defenses have
not much,
to
though.
Further.
Not much.
I'm telling you, it's constantly in
even
flux.
Sirianni said yesterday. Everyone knows
change.
What's about to happen. I mean,
yeah.
Hey Ray, I'm curious. 3 or 4 years ago, when this whole thing started, I felt like you, me, and Jaws were the only three around here that said we are personally against it. Glad the Eagles can use it, but personally against it as football fans. Do you remain against it?
No. No,
but you were right.
Oh, initially I was.
Yeah.
Initially I was one of those people that said that's not a football play. I will put my hand up and admit to it right now. I did say that. But what's changed my mind is, hey, listen, I like the fact that the Eagles are really successful at it. You know, I like the fact that I think the Eagles have something that nobody else has. I like having that in my back pocket going into every game. But the other part of it is, I respect the way the Eagles work it. You know, I respect the fact that these guys practice it. That it's not just pushing bodies there. I mean, there's real technique. There's real practice. I mean, these guys really know what they're doing. Look, every team in the league could run it if they wanted to. There's no rule that says they can't. But the fact is that nobody runs it the way the Eagles do because nobody works at it the way the Eagles do. They're just better at it than everybody else. So I've sort of come around. I respect the fact that you have to practice something that clearly is no fun.
Yeah.
but they do it enough to be as good at it that every week you know they're going to run it and teams still can't stop it. So that's what it is. I mean, to me it's still kind of a weird-looking play.
Yep.
But I respect the fact that the Eagles work at it the way they do to be as good at it as they are. That kind of effort, you know, I kind of respect that. And there's no doubt that their ability to convert almost every one of those short yardage plays is a tremendous, it's a tremendous weapon that they have
Big
that
time.
Nobody else does.
No question. Ray, final thing, your play, Spinners, how's it going? Where can people see it?
Oh, okay. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, we had dress rehearsal last night, and it went great. I mean, it was really, really good. The actors were great. The set was great. I mean, I came out of there feeling really, really good last night about that. So it opens this Wednesday at the Delaware Theater Company down in Wilmington, and we run through October the 5th. So if anybody wants tickets, and there are tickets still available, go on Delaware Theater Company website and order them now. We open Wednesday night, and I'm really proud of it. I mean, Matt Silva has done a great job putting together a very difficult play, and the cast is outstanding.
Good.
So I hope
That's
people
awesome.
Come out and see it.
Well, congrats
Ray, can
on that,
you
Ray.
Ice skate?
What's that?
Can you ice skate?
No,
yeah,
not a bit.
Either. I'm terrible,
not
too.
A bit.
It's hard.
All right, my man Ray, stay well, and we'll talk to you, and hopefully the birds keep it going. Thanks, Ray.
All right, Joe. Take care.
Great stuff. There he is, the Diddy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.